This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And the best place right at your fingertips to get the best Bucks coverage is follow on Twitter at Eric_name. E-R-I-C, spelled the right way, does he, Eric? And he joins us now here on the Wendy's Big Show. Hello, Eric.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
What's up, Nate?
Well, Eric, some stuff has gone down since we talked to you last Thursday here on the Wendy's Big Show. Most notably, Chris Middleton goes down with that thigh contusion, and now tonight it's Dante DiVincenzo getting the first bit and the first chance to take over some of those starting minutes. Do you think this is going to be a rotation at that start, or do you think this is an opportunity for Dante to kind of take it off the sheet while Middleton's resting up with that thigh contusion?
Yeah, I think... obviously, Bud's going to go through a couple different ways during a game, but one thing that Bud has kind of done since he got here in Milwaukee is he kind of preaches consistency. So, you know, I feel like if he picks a guy, that's probably going to be the guy for, you know, at least a couple games, and if things go terribly, then he'll change it up. But Bud just really appreciates that. Like, he likes having things go a certain way. He likes having rotation set. He likes having guys kind of be able to expect, to know what they're going to expect each and every night. So I think if he picks a guy, that'll be the guy he goes with here for a little while. So we'll kind of see how that plays out. But, you know, in my head, I was kind of thinking it was Jaren Brown, it was Dante DiVincenzo, one of those guys. But in the back of my mind, I know that Bud likes to go big in these situations sometimes. So I was kind of thinking Ersan, but we'll see with Dante, getting a crack at it and what he can do with it. And the one thing that, you know, we've heard throughout really this entire, I guess I can say week because it's been 3 days here in Milwaukee, the entire time we've heard this is a big chance for guys like Dante, for guys like Sterling, and those are the two names that keep getting brought up. So we'll see what those guys can do with these minutes.
Hey, Wes Matthews, to this point, any concern about what you've seen to this point, or are you still confident that when time comes he'll be there when they need him?
I think, you know, I asked Bud that question on, I guess it would have been Sunday in Oklahoma City before the game, and asked something similar. Like, you know, you look at Wes in the first three games, I think it was 14 apiece in those three, and then since then he just really hasn't been able to score, hasn't really been able to make an impact offensively, and Bud assured me that he's happy with what Wesley's doing on the defensive end, which is good because obviously that's what Bud likes, but I do think you have to wonder if there's a little bit more he can do from a scoring perspective. I think this is a good opportunity for him to get to do a little bit more scoring. But the thing I keep looking at is his three-point percentage is just at 33%.
Right.
And that was the big thing that, you know, I was, you know, thinking through that, you know, hey, if you're not going to have Malcolm Brogdon that goes to the rack as much, or you're going to have Wesley Matthews who doesn't go to the rack as much as Malcolm Brogdon, he's got to make up for it in other ways. And that was supposed to be at the three-point line where, you know, he was a 40% catch-and-shoot guy. He was going to get a lot of easier looks. He was going to get wide-open looks because he's playing with all these other guys, and he's missed those looks, and that's a problem. So, you know, if through 10 games, if there's two things I'm kind of looking at and wondering about, it's Wesley Matthews shooting 33%, and it's Brook Lopez shooting, I think, 29.6% from the three-point line. If I have that number correctly. So those are two big concerns. Like the spacing around Giannis and chucking up a bunch of threes is obviously something that I've kind of stumped for over the years and campaigned for, and they did it last year. But if that percentage drops so low, it really throws everything else into flux. And that was something that Wesley Matthews talked about earlier this week, was that, hey, if we miss a bunch of shots, we still have to be good defensively, and that's something that the Bucks have struggled with. They haven't been good defensively when they've missed shots. We've seen, I mean, what are we at, 4 or 5 comebacks in 10 games of, like, 15-plus points where teams get back in it because the Bucks start missing threes, other teams get out on transition and those long rebounds, and then all of a sudden the Bucks are in trouble and it's a game again. So to me, that Wesley Matthews shooting and Brooke Lopez shooting stand out to me thus far, as far as, you know, through 10 games, things that I'm, you know, that haven't gone to expectations. Those are the two things I think right now that stand out to me.
Oh, your thoughts on this injury though with Middleton? Was it, is it 3 to 4 weeks? Is it, it's not as bad as it was the first time that he did it? But what exactly is the injury?
Yeah, I mean it's a contusion, which I mean honestly, as a football guy, you probably have lots of experience with contusions. You know, you get a
helmet, football players, we don't miss. Football players don't miss 3 to 4 weeks because we just miss practice and we're ready to go on Sunday. I mean, you know, you guys are a little different.
Yeah, I don't disagree, but yeah. You know that you get a helmet inside the thigh pad and it's going to swell up and it's going to hurt a little bit. So
right.
I think the big thing where just what we've gotten over the last year with Bud is aggressively cautious is how they approach injuries. And I understand that that's an oxymoron. You can't both be aggressive
right.
and cautious. But they do go out of their way to be pretty much as cautious as possible. That,
okay.
you know, if there's anything with any of their players, especially during the regular season, like before you get to the postseason and before you get to the end of the season, if it's in the middle of the season, they're going to give that guy more than enough time to get through this. So if I had to guess, there's probably a whole bunch of swelling and a whole bunch of bruising on the top portion of Chris Middleton's leg, and they're going to make sure that all that bruising is gone, and he's going to be ready to go whenever he does end up getting back on the floor. But they are going to take their time and make sure that he's right before they bring him back on.
So, Eric, 10 games into the season, and you start to feel a little bit like you can read into if the team has come back in a different form than they were last year, and obviously we still have a long way to go, but the start of the 2019-2020 season, has it gone similar to how you expect? Still feeling out the way that they're going to play with some new guys, but also getting wins against teams that they really should?
Yeah, I think ultimately it's played pretty close to what I thought, in that, you know, this is still going to be a really good basketball team. I don't think it's quite as good as the team that they had last year, but they're still going to be really good. They're still going to win a bunch of games, but if they're going to find success, they're going to do it differently. And this year, I think we've seen that it's going to be with more threes. It's going to be a little bit less at the rim. And as much as Bud does not like to hear it or think about it, you know, this might be a team that more often than not wins with their offense instead of their defense. And that drives Bud crazy. And he would obviously much rather have it the other way. But I think when you look at this Bucks team, you have to at least think that that's the way it's going to go, because I don't know if they're quite as good defensively this year. And, you know, maybe in time it'll all work out. The scheme will end up winning, and they'll figure out what they need to figure out. Wesley will get better, and the whole team will, you know, defend at a higher level. But to this point, they just haven't really done that yet. So to me, that's going to be kind of how this goes. But overall, from, you know, like an expectation standpoint, this team looks pretty similar to what I thought it would before the season.
What about DJ Wilson? That was a guy that had a little bit of a run last year, got everybody's hopes up that, okay, he's not a bust, he's going to turn this thing around. And now this year, beginning of the year, everybody's back to going, where's DJ Wilson?
Yeah, I think it's interesting to me that the Bucks, whether it's John Horst or it was Mike Boonholzer, or I guess a combination of the brain trust there, I was just surprised by how much that they prioritized a backup center and how much they talked that up. That, you know, during the offseason, it was, oh, yeah, you know, finally we have a backup center. That means we can play defense the same way that we do. You know, we have another Lopez brother, so defense won't change for the other four guys on the floor, because we're going to take Brooke off, we're going to bring Robin on. And in my head, I just kind of thought, like, do you need a backup center in the modern NBA? Like, aren't we thinking more about guys that can switch, guys that can move their feet on the defensive end, guys that can do a lot of different things on the defensive end, as opposed to, you know, a guy that just kind of stands in the middle and helps defensively? So I was kind of surprised by that. And obviously we've seen Robin Lopez, I think, struggle quite a bit thus far this season where he's not hitting shots. And, like, ultimately he's still a plus, and the Bucks are still a plus when he's on the floor. But they're not as much of a plus when he's on the floor as when other guys are on the floor. So I think we're going to have to see how committed they are to this, because at the end of the season, I think it makes a ton of sense to have a guy like Robin Lopez. Like, if you're going up against Philly and you can throw 48 minutes of Lopez brother at Joel Embiid, that is awesome. That is great. But you don't play a Philadelphia 76ers for 82 games. Like, you don't need that every night. You need other stuff. So to me, that's going to be the interesting thing is, can at some point during the season, can they go to a guy like DJ Wilson? Can they get him some minutes and play differently in those minutes than they normally do? And that still be okay with Bud, and that still be okay with Robin Lopez. Like, is he still going to be fine with that role where he isn't playing as much? And there will still be the time, like, hey, man, like, we're going to need you in the postseason. We're going to need you when we go up against all these bigs. And, I mean, even, like, a Raptors team coming on strong. They have Marcus Saul. You look at the Pacers. They have two bigs as well. There's going to be a time when they need you, but I don't know if you need Robin Lopez night in, night out in an 82-game schedule.
Eric, appreciate it, man. We'll talk next week, Thursday, covering the Milwaukee Bucks. Follow along all night long as they take on the Chicago Bulls tonight at Eric_NEHN on Twitter. He is Eric Name. He joins us here on the Wendy's Big Show. Appreciate it, man.
All right, appreciate y'all. See ya.
That's Eric Name joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your communities since 1935.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.